All right, if not, we'll be back in Psalms 119. Psalm 119. We were in there at the beginning part of this psalm last Sunday night. Wanted to go to the next section. Don't know if we'll continue that way, but at least for this week we will. And if you weren't here last Sunday night, this Psalm 119 is the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible. And when you think about, like I said last week, what would the biggest chapter of the Bible deal with? What's an important topic? And that is the Word of God. It's dedicated to God's Word and showing the importance. And last time we kind of looked at the blessings of God's Word kind of from the beginning of Psalm 119. And I want to look at Psalm 119. We'll start in verse 9 and read down to 16, this section here. It says this in Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all the riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for its truth, Lord, for already being in our midst. Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight to preach. Lord, help us to hear what your word has for us. Lord, help that we ask the Holy Spirit would teach us, Lord, and that we could draw closer to you. And Lord, just reaffirm our love for your word. And Lord, we thank you in all things we ask in Jesus' precious name. And amen. So like I said, we're in the next section. Each one deals with a letter, and that's where you see the Beth letter. If your Bible kind of splits it up there in verse 9, and that letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Beth, that also means a house. So you think about, he's kind of showing us in this section how to make our heart a home for the Word of God. That's kind of what you see in this section. So the first verse here in verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" I don't know about you, but I don't see the word "wherewithal" used very often anymore. And today we would say that would be kind of, you have the ability to pay for something, the wherewithal. But really it means how. That's a simpler way, or by what method. So you think about, he's asking the question, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And you know, that was a tough question thousands of years ago. You think about how would a young man live a righteous and pure life. That problem still lies today, and it's getting, I believe, even harder in today's lifestyle for a young person to live a pure life in the midst of all the wickedness in an age that, in society that we live in, that glorifies sin and unrighteous living. How would a young man, how would a young woman cleanse their way? You know, the devil knows something. He knows that it's harder for people to walk away from sinful habits when they're older. He knows that. He knows the more ingrained it is, the more that they sow the seed of unrighteousness as the years go by, he knows it's harder to walk away from. Amen. And that's why God wants young men and young women to live pure lives, so they can be, one of the reasons is they can be spared from those devastating effects of sin that go throughout their life. You know, a lot of times, there are sins that can happen in early living that can change the entire course of somebody's life. Maybe you sit here today and that happened to you. You made a sinful choice, went against what God has told you to do, and you still have the consequences. Now we're forgiven, but remember, God does not forgive consequences. He forgives sins. We will reap what we sow. And he's saying, I want, God wants young women and young men to live pure lives, but not only, he can save someone at any age, but it is much easier at a younger age, I believe, when you get into a life with the Lord, a relationship with the Lord. It's easier to live the younger you are because you can get into a pattern of righteousness early and live with God's help. But it's not just for young men or young women, but it's true for everyone. How are we going to cleanse our way? What method? How are we going to do that? And he answers it in verse 9. By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. And here it is. Old men, old women, or old young men, old men, young women, old women. Hard to say. Everyone in between. We need to take heed. What's he say? Thy word. It's God's word. It's not our word. We're not to take heed to man's word, but the word of God. Let it guide your life. That's what he's saying. Take heed to it. And the same thing in verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. We kind of talked about that before in the first part there in verse 4. And that word keep we talked about means to protect and to guard God's word. And now he's saying to keep it and protect it and let it lead your life. So here's what we see. The more God's word leads your life, the more it directs your life, the more righteous you'll live. And we know that today, don't we? Because God's word will lead you in a life of righteousness. It's the world that will lead you in unrighteousness. We know this today. And without God's word, we will conform to this world every time. That's what happens. How will it happen? Taking heed, letting it guide according to our word. Then he goes on in verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Do you see that? With my whole heart. I believe that is his desire. The psalmist, that's the desire he has. He's saying, I don't want to seek God with anything but my whole heart, not part of it. And I think that's the same desire we should have. And here is what he's saying. The desire is, not let me wander from thy commandments. And see, you could flip this verse around. If we make this verse in the negative, it would say, with half of my heart have I sought them, and it caused me to wander from thy commandments. See, have I sought thee, and it caused me to wander. You see, if we're doing it half-heartedly, we will wander astray from God. But he says, I want my whole heart into your word, Lord, so it keeps me. Why? Because here's, like I said, the world is trying to get us to wander. And I think this is part of the problem with Christianity today. People are wandering away from God because they're only half-heartedly seeking God. If that, sometimes even less than half. And especially in your 20s and even 30s, you see people that haven't been seeking God, they start to make their own way and make their own goals and seek after their own ways, and it leads to unrighteousness. But you know what God said? I want you to seek me with your whole heart. Because what's the cost? What's the cost when we wander away from God? See, God is able to heal the backslider. We can find forgiveness in God if we wander away, but what's the cost? Everyone that follows us, everyone that looks up to us, our family, our friends, they may decide to wander away with us, and while God will heal our backsliding, they may not come back. That's a heavy cost. We can find healing, but what about our family members that don't return? You know what Jesus said, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We're in the minority. But we're always going to be in the minority. That's what God said. It's a narrow way. That road of righteousness is a narrow road. And the only way to find it and to stay on it and not wander from it is because we need to seek God with our whole heart and let God's word lead us each and every day. And in fact, he goes on. Look at verse 11. We like this one. Thy word have I hid mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It goes right along with it. If we seek God with our whole heart, it'll guide us. And if we hide God's word in our heart, it'll keep us from sin. That's what it's showing us. You know, Jesus Christ showed us that very example, didn't he? When he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil. It wasn't by his own power, even though he was more powerful. He didn't ignore the temptation. He didn't measure out the temptation. He didn't weigh it or think about it or anything else. He responded to the devil the same way all three times. He said, "It is written." And then he gave scripture. He gave us the example. That's what he did. All three times he confounded the devil, and it shined light into his deception and into his lies. And I'm here to tell you that temptation is everywhere. Wickedness, I believe today, is more accessible than ever because we've got access to all sorts of evil with our phones and computers and every TV and everything else. It's instantly accessible. But I tell you what, you know, we can still benefit from the same thing that the young man could benefit from thousands of years ago. The same thing that everyone in between could benefit from is hiding God's word in our heart. I tell you what, a lot of times we get away from it, but there is nothing better than getting that word hid, and it takes work to memorize scripture. But I tell you what, you will never regret a single verse of the Bible that's in your heart. It'll come back to exactly when you need it. Amen. It's right there. And that's what he's saying. You keep that word in your heart. You know what else you do when you memorize things? You start to think about it. That verse will pop into your head that you're working on. It'll pop into your head when you aren't even working on it. And you'll finish it in your mind and cause you to think about it. That's what God's word, it needs to happen. It'll help us to live righteously and escape the power of sin. Look at this, verse 12. So he had covered in the first couple verses what we need to do. First, take heed to God's word, then seek God's word, and now hide God's word in our hearts. Then he gets to verse 12, and now he's saying this. He's asking God for help. Oh Lord, teach me thy statutes. We've got a tremendous access to the Bible. I sound like a broken record, but I hope you and I never forget about the fact that it is a tremendous blessing that we have the very revealed Word of God that's true and inerrant, everything that He wanted us to have. We have right here for our generation and our language. That is a blessing today. And He's saying, Lord, teach me thy statutes. Here's the thing. If you don't read the Bible, that's a problem. If you just read it, that's a little better, but it's still a problem. We've got to learn what it says. And not learn from man's opinion, but learn from God. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 at the beginning, it tells us to run the race with patience that is set before us. Then it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's who we've got to look for direction. Anyone that's saved by Jesus Christ means you've got a personal relationship with the author of this word, Jesus Christ. He wrote it, he walked it, he finished it. Praise God. And we can go to him at any time. Not only that, I'm glad Jesus said this in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you in all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I say, what a blessing. We've got not only Jesus, the author, we've got the Holy Spirit, the teacher, and both of us are willing and ready to teach us God's word. The problem is, are we willing and ready to sit in the classroom of heaven? We've got to have God's word in our heart. Teach me thy statutes. It's a prayer. But at the beginning it says, blessed art thou, O Lord. And he only knew that that was true because he knew God's word. You see, it tends to be one of those circular things. The more we know about God's word, the more we'll love God. Right? And the more we love God, the more we'll love God's word. It just becomes a circle. And that desire for his word gives us a desire to know more about God and to draw closer to him. That's why the devil's always trying to cut that off. He does not want us to get into this. He will try to distract. He'll try to change the words. He'll try to get rid of it, whatever he can. I'm here to tell you, he wouldn't fight against it so hard if there wasn't real power there. It's real. He goes on, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So we're seeing a progression here in learning God's word. Building, remember, it's kind of like building a house in our heart for God's word. First he said, I want you to guard the word, then seek the word, then hide the word in your heart, then ask the Lord to teach us his word, and now he wants us to meditate in his word. Meditate on it. We've got to contemplate what the Bible's saying. We've got to think about how does it apply to our life. I think that's what a lot of people miss. That even that get an education in God's word, they miss the application part. This is not just a history book. It's not just a book of good ideas. This is a book that will lead our very lives if we let it. But the problem is we're always applying it to somebody else and not applying it to ourselves, right? You can look across and the preacher's preaching on something in your words. Man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that. I tell you what, a lot of times we look at it and you can tell pretty quickly when a piece of God's word really hits our life when it's application time. Because number one, the Holy Spirit sometimes sends conviction. And number two, we respond with the excuses, don't we? Oh, I don't like that one. We'll just move on to the next one. I like the blessing verse, but I don't like this verse. Right? We've got to meditate on it. We've got to think about it. And that takes time. But that is how we grow closer to God. Yes. It's through applying his word and thinking about it. How does this passage apply to my life? And then you can take it another step and you can take that to your prayer closet and say, Lord, I know this is what I need to apply. Lord, help me to apply it. And that's what God wants us to do. To take this word, this isn't an academic thing. This isn't an intellectual thing. This is a heart thing and a life thing. Amen. And that's what he's saying. It's a practical book. God's word is. And as you grow closer to God, it'll cause you to have respect unto thy ways. Not our ways, but his ways. We'll more respect God. And say, see, at the beginning we thought some people wrestled with salvation because they weren't sure they wanted to live a Christian life. But as you get more into God's word, you start to realize this is the best life. And this is the best direction for my life. And this is because we've gotten into God's word and we can see. What can we see? We can see what God has for us, but we can also see where men and women in the past have tried to go their own way. And we can see the failures and the consequences and say, you know what? I don't want to do that. I don't want to upset God. I don't want to turn my life in that direction. I want to be as close to God as I can be. That's what his word will do. We've got to apply it. This world is full of wickedness and uncertainty. We've got to have a firm foundation, and we have one. That's God's word. We have to have light in the darkness. Again, that's God's word. We need direction and peace in the middle of the storm. Promises for our daily life and to help our faith. All of that and more is in God's word. The longer we live a life meditating and trusting in God's word, the more we'll respect it, the more it will allow it to lead our lives. And then finally we get to verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The more excited we get about the riches that we have in the Bible, the more we'll hide it in our heart. And the more it will be available for when we need it and when we have to make decisions and how we have to judge our actions and our speech. We can forget a lot of things in this life. You can forget where you put your keys, but do not forget the Bible over anything else. Our society has tried to eradicate the Bible. They've tried to forget about it, even though they're trying to forget that this very nation was founded on the Bible and godly principles and righteousness. They want to ignore all of that and get rid of it and erase it. But here's the thing, the more they do that, the more that we see wickedness and ruin and destruction prevail. And it's no accident, because God said that's what would happen if you go away from that narrow road. That's what would happen if you lead a life of sin. You will reap what you sow when you do that. That is exactly what will happen. I know it is frustrating to see where this world is going, where our nation is going, where our communities and schools are going, but this world is proving that God's word is true. You cannot live a life of wickedness and expect blessings from it. You can't have peace living in this world and its sin and everything else. This world's trying to prove God's word wrong, and they never will. We are seeing it today, every day of our life. Why? This world can't find any certainty or peace. They don't have. They're always shifting around, changing ideas, and not even making sense logically. It's all because they're trying to do it their way apart from God's word. And God's word's true. It's true. And guess what? I don't delight myself reading the news. I don't delight myself in seeing the new laws that they pass. I don't delight myself in the new thing that this world has to offer. But I'll tell you what, I want to delight myself in God's word. Get excited about it. Some people get excited about so many things, but we need to find joy in his word. It's there. It's there. You can. But will we? We've got to proclaim God's word. And to do that, it's got to be in our heart. We've got to be led by it. They have to see it in our lives. And although this world has forgotten about the Bible, and even some churches have forgotten about the Bible, that's the sad thing. They've replaced it with other things. They've replaced it with programs and everything else. But I'm telling you what, there is no substitute. Those churches will prove, just like the world is proving, that it doesn't work. We've got to proclaim God's word. We've got to teach God's word. We got to live our lives by it. And I think it all wraps up into that last phrase. I will not forget thy word. That can't be just something we say. It's got to be something we got to live every day. Tomorrow, we've got to live that. I will not forget thy word. Right? Tuesday. And on and on and on. Because we need it every day. We are being filled with unrighteousness. And I'm not talking about a lot of the things that we would just say is utter wickedness. I'm talking about you just watch the news. I'm talking about you just watch things that are even children's shows. It's full of wickedness and anti-Bible things. Not even trying to be that way. It's just that's the way the world is going. And we will slowly conform to that if we're not rooted in this. And this will guide us. And this will keep us from the power of temptation. This will help us to sin less. This will help us to go down the right road. This will help us to see who God is. And help show us that we're blessed. We can hide this in our heart. We can meditate upon this. And we can find great joy in it. And delight ourselves in thy statutes. Remember what I said, it's no accident that the longest chapter is dealing with God's word. But here's the thing, how important is it in our life? How important is it in our life? Or are other things more important? Mike, you sound like a broken record. Well, here's the thing. This world is fighting against this every single day. And I look at people that used to be with us and are not now. And I look at people that, young people that go off to college, and even just a few months of being in college, a half a year, they're starting to turn in another direction. Why? Because they're putting that in more than they were putting this in. There's no other excuse for that. But here's the thing. We can't just blame young people. I'm here to tell you, we've got to get this in our homes. We've got to get it in our lives all around. We've got to show people that this is important at work and everywhere else. Just because you're not going off to college doesn't mean this world can't take you for a ride. You know where it starts? You're not just like one of those cliff divers just going over the edge. It just starts one small step at a time. one small step of replacing this with something else, and eventually the devil will get you in a spot where you start questioning all of it. Or you just get too busy for all of it. Or you just replace it with something else. Haven't we seen that? What's one of the reasons? I believe it's because of this. I hear some of the things that people are saying, and I was like, my goodness, if you would have been in this, you would have seen that what they're saying is a complete lie.
Yeah.
But because you haven't been in this, you've taken the bait and you're along for the ride. You know what's great? Is that even those ones that have decided to go with the world, there's still a Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What's he? Not only does he shall teach you all things, but I love this part, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
Yeah.
That's the blessing of even a prodigal that's gone, is knowing that the same God that taught them when they were younger is the same God that can go to them and bring every single thing back to their memory. That's what we need to keep praying for. Say, Lord, I know it's been a long time for some of these people, but you bring it back. And you show them this world is nonsense. And is just going headlong into hell following the devil and his lies. Show them the truth, Lord. I believe he can. Why are we still here? Because there are still people that are going to be saved from hell. Yet each day. That's why we're still here. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Each day. You know, while we see the day approaching, one of the things God said is there's an importance to assemble ourselves together. But every single day, no matter what the age or time, this has to be the center of our life. It'll direct us. It'll tell us. You know what's sad is their judgment day. Jesus said that some will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, then we do all these things in your name.
Yeah.
And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Right.
They're saying they had the name right, but what was the problem? Some people are inventing the wrong Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've got the real one.
Amen.
Not because we're Free Will Baptists, because we're on the Bible. We've got to get in his word and make it a delight in our heart. We've got to meditate on it. We've got to hide it. We've got to seek it with our whole heart. We've got to do all of these things, and God will help us with every bit of it. And you, I will tell you, there is never a minute wasted in God's word.
Amen.
So as Bert gets a song, we're going to open up the altar tonight. If you need to pray about anything, I'd urge you to come.